How do we know Jesus can use darkness to get people's attention? How do we know? Well, Luke 23 and 44, maybe this will help you. This is Jesus on the cross. It was now about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So darkness came to get some people's attention. Darkness covered in the middle of the day from noon to three. Now some people say, well, you know, maybe it was an eclipse, but if there's total darkness and it's 3 hours, I don't know of any eclipse that lasts 3 hours. I could be wrong, but I don't think an eclipse would last 3 hours. Once again, God bringing a supernatural darkness to get people's attention. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Thank you, Jesus. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, it's into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said that, he breathed his last after that 3 hours. You know, there was 3 hours of darkness right then. There was 3 days of darkness. Three days of darkness in Egypt. And I kind of look at the 3 years so far of darkness we've had in this administration. I'm just going to say it. Let me just say this. It's we the people. This is our country. I have to say it over and over and over again. We're not in China where you can't say anything. We're not in Russia where you can't say anything. The Constitution says that the government is we the people, so I have the right to speak the truth from a pulpit. And if some people don't like it, I'm sorry. Yeah. 3 hours of darkness at the time of Jesus' death, and after that 3 hours, what happened? He said, it is finished. 3 days in Egypt, dark, and then what after that, that plague was over, and then it was the beginning, amen, of the first Passover. Let me just say this for the number three in Hebrew, and its meaning, it means harmony. It means new life. It means completeness. You know, sometimes it's always darkest before the dawn. Did you know that? I have this story. I have a friend that went hunting, and he was elk hunting, and it was getting dark, and he got lost. And it's a guy that he knows his directions, but I forgot what happened, but he got lost and didn't get back to camp before it became dark. And so he wasn't prepared to be out all night long. It wasn't, you know, zero or freezing, but it was still getting, where he was at, it was still getting very cold at night. And so he was talking about how he had to get, he got under this tree, right? And it's just, it seems like night would never end. It's cold. And he's just by himself. He's, you know, and he can't see. It becomes dark. He can't see. You know, he couldn't wait. And all of a sudden, you know, that dark period right before dawn, then all of a sudden you see the dawn coming over the horizon. He said it seemed like night would never end. But then all of a sudden, here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. Lord, we thank you for areas in people's lives, or people, as Carol said this morning, where it seems like darkness and areas of maybe the family or things, that situation seem like they're never going to end. But I'm telling you, if we trust the Lord, if we trust him, amen, that darkness is going to end in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It was darkest before the dawn. Trust him, you know, in this darkness, as things or people become very, very dark, there's going to be some people, I've said it before, they're in such darkness that are going to come to the Lord. We're going to say him or her. I'm going to explain this. I was reading this, so I want to switch a little bit to maybe family members. Can you hear me for a few more minutes? We might even get out of here a few minutes early. So specifically in this point number three, point number one was darkness can get people's attention. Point number two, great darkness right before supernatural light. Amen? 3, darkness over family members. And I'm going to use the book of Jonah. I'm going to use Jonah as an example. Where Jonah, man, Jonah is a prophet, I'm telling you. And as I read this account, Jonah totally backslides from the Lord. I'm going to show you. He was a prophet, but he decided, I don't care what I'm hearing or what the Lord's saying. He decides to go a different direction. When the Lord has spoken to your heart, you said, I got a better idea. I'm leaving the area. That's a forsaking at that point in his walk with the Lord. Jonah 1:6 says this. Well, we know that, let me say this. So the captain approached him. That's Jonah, and said, how is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. So the Lord has said, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. I want you to give a message of repentance to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I'm not going to do it because Nineveh is my enemy. They're the enemy of Israel. I am not going to go preach to Nineveh. That's what he said. So he gets a fare on a ship and says, I'll go the opposite direction. Basically, so I don't care what you say, Lord. What you told me offends me, and I will go the opposite direction. So you can think about family members, a call upon God by their lives. God speaks to their heart, but they might refuse. The Lord may say something to them, and maybe perhaps they get offended. Have you ever had a family member, it could be a son or a daughter, with a ministry or even yourself or somebody, where they become offended with the Word of God? And it begins to be an opposite direction. That's exactly what Jonah does here. He becomes offended with the Word of God. He becomes offended with what God told him. And how do we know? Because he says, I'm getting on a ship. Which way is Nineveh? Okay, I'm going this way. It's going opposite of the direction that God would call you. You may have family members here, kids, parents, grandparents, nephews, nieces, that have got offended somewhere down the line. And they decided to go an opposite direction. Has anybody ever seen that happen? Well, just know that the great prophet Jonah did that himself. If you look at God, and what's he do? He's so nonchalant that the storm arises and he's asleep. You know, I think he'd become so despondent that there's this, everybody's up top on the deck. There's a storm. He's sleeping under the deck, right? And he's just sleeping. At this point, he doesn't care anymore. Doesn't care what happens to him. Doesn't care what happens to the ship. He said, I'll just sleep. And if this thing makes it, great. If it doesn't, even better yet. People, that family members that are living their life, that seems like they don't care. Seems like they're asleep. They know the Lord, but right now they could be asleep. That's the first step. The offense, an offense. It's always an offense, whether it's you. And you could have even said something wrong. Or the church isn't perfect. But somewhere an offense takes root. And with Jonah, the Lord says, I want you to go speak to Nineveh. And he said, I'll do anything, Lord, but that. I'll do anything but that. See, he didn't know much about the love of God. And we'll see, even after all of this, he's still not happy about God's love towards his enemies. And I just say this morning, Lord, help us to not have that type of heart with Jonah, with those that are living in darkness. Amen? I don't want my heart to turn away in some degree because of how much I hate the Ninevites. And you fill in the blank on the Ninevites in your life. Amen. A call upon the God, he goes a different direction, but he refused. The Jonah 1:10 continue. It says, so he said to them, they came to him and said, man, we don't know how this happened. They cast lots to say, who brought this problem upon us? We got this storm that's not going away. It's happened day after day after day. Something's not quite right here. So they cast these lots and it fell on Jonah. And they said, we noticed that you've been sleeping in the hole. You could care less if you die or don't die. But we cast these lots and it came upon you, Jonah. What's going on with you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Then it says, then the men became extremely afraid. And they said to him, how could you do this? Let me say this. We had this where you've had family members that have walked away. Maybe you've said the same thing. How could you do this? How could you walk away? How could you be asleep? And how could you actually get to the point where you just totally have given up? How could you do this? So this is where Jonah is. He's even having the unbeliever saying, how could you have done this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Amen. People fleeing from the presence of the Lord. They know the Lord, but they're fleeing from the Lord. So here's the thing. He'd become offended somehow. The next thing, he is fleeing from the Lord. You could be fleeing from the Lord for any number of reasons this morning, but let me just stop and say, he loves you. Amen. We're going to see the end of this story, how much he loves you. And so they said, how could you be running from God? They're saying, what is wrong with you? And so they tell him this. He says, hey, there's only one way to stop this, and that's throw me overboard. I always find it interesting as I was studying for this. Why didn't he just stop right then and just say, I repent, Lord? You know, I don't think he understood the love of God. You see, we may have family members right now because of the lies of the enemy, where there's a storm going on in their life, but they don't understand the love of God. So they said, the only hope you have is to throw me overboard. God's done with me. He could have repented and say, you know what? I'm repenting of this. I'm gonna go to Nineveh. No, what he said, the only way to get this storm to quit is throw me overboard. He'd come to a point, I think, he says, this whole mess where I'm at, the only solution is you throw me the overboard. And they didn't want to do that. They tried everything, and then finally said, man, this storm is continuing and going on and going on and going on. So eventually they throw him overboard. Did you ever think of that? He could have just repented right then, Lord, forgive me. Man, the love of God goes beyond anything we could ever, our wildest understandings. The wildest understandings. You know, sometimes he didn't want to preach repentance to anybody. He was angry toward. I notice that people don't understand the love of God. They don't want them coming. They just want to condemn them. They don't want to give them an opportunity to repent. And so if you understand again, this Nineveh was a city that was an enemy of Israel, done Israel great harm in battle. So this was his prophet saying, nope, if this is what you're like, I'm done with this. If this is your kindness and goodness, I'm done with this. And so he says, throw him overboard. So they threw him overboard. Jonah 1:17, and the Lord designated a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. There's that number three again. Just like Jesus was in the belly of the earth for 3 days, amen, and three nights. And so it says, the Lord designated a great fish, let me say it, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the for 3 days and three nights. Just think if he'd been thrown overboard, and just think if those men on the ship had seen that fish come and get him, they said, yep, that guy's gone. He made the Lord really mad. Let me just say this real quick. It doesn't matter where a family member I'm speaking to, or it could be brothers, sisters, children. It doesn't matter if it looks like they're in the belly of a whale right now. God knows exactly where they're at. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And what I was just, as I began to this, the Lord spoke to me in this story. He was in utter darkness. Sometimes Somebody has to feel the darkness before they say, I'm done. Some people have to feel the darkness before they're done running from the Lord. So what is this? He's in the belly of the whale. The people, if they had seen it on the ship, said, yep, he's done. God's done with him. But God preserved him in the darkest place in the ocean. It's not at the bottom of the ocean. It's in the belly of a whale. That would be the darkest place I could imagine in all the ocean, is in the belly of a whale. Could you imagine? So he's swallowed by this darkness. Can't get out. No way out on your own. And there for a time, he just thinks Jonah refuses to repent. Because we'll see, when he repents, God vomits him out. So how long did he spend in that belly of the whale saying, God's given up on me. God has given up on me. I'm going to die now. I'm in the belly of the whale. I don't know what this is going to be like, but I'm done. And you know what? There's people that are children and family members who right now are in the belly of the whale. And they may be saying, I'm done, but the Lord is waiting. There's going to be a shift in their heart, and they're going to repent and cry out to the Lord, because they're going to get tired of feeling the darkness. So when we see this darkness that's going on in this country, that's overtaking schools, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, let people feel the darkness and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Sometime you have to feel the darkness. And so even when he was in that position, I remember I was in a time in years ago, I was in such darkness because I was so bound by legalism. Didn't know anything about the love of the Lord. I remember having that time in my life of being in the belly of the whale. And I said, Lord, if there's a 1% chance I can make it, help me. If there's just a 1% chance. And that's when the Lord, in my moment of the belly of the whale, the Lord began to repent from my heart and say, Lord, does it look like you can make it? I don't know what it was about that prayer, but all of a sudden my heart shifted. And I had my vomit out on the beach moment, so to speak. Thank you, Jesus. It says in Jonah 2, 1 and 3, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord. Thank you. I declare this over our families in Jesus' name. I said, I declare this over our family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He said, I called out in my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I called for help from the depth of Sheol. That's like being in hell. He was. You imagine belly of the fish. It doesn't get any worse than that. So he prayed from the belly of that fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I called for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. The Lord heard his voice. Isn't that amazing where the Lord had heard his voice? It says, for you threw me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current flowed over me. All your breakers and waves passed over me. The Lord allows darkness to get people's attention sometimes. Listen to this, saints. The Lord allows darkness to get people's attention. It's a darkness that you can feel. A darkness that brings a total despair. That's what it took to have Jonah say, Lord, forgive me. If there's a chance, bring me back. Lord, I went the other direction. All these things happen. I'm asleep under the ship. I'm telling them, yeah, it's because of me. There's days, all this, we're just drifting, and the ship is like it's going to break apart, and he still didn't repent. And then finally said, we got to get rid of this cat, dump him over. And then a whale swallows him up. And could you imagine his first thoughts was, yep, God's done with me. No, God wasn't done with him. God had a plan. I'm going to tell you, sometimes the darkness that a child or family member can be in, say, Lord, let them feel them. I know this can be hard. Let them feel that darkness to the point where they said, I'm done. Lord Jesus, areas of darkness in society, we pray that it would become so dark for some people in those areas that they finally said, Lord, I give you my life. I love you. I praise you. I worship you. As the piano player comes forward. And so for that, thank you, piano player. Here, let me give you another promise. As I was just preparing this, the Lord just gave me this scripture that had to do with darkness. And I know this was when I knew the Lord had given me this. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. You've heard this, but it's actually 1 through 5. I'm sorry. You know the beginning of this, but let's keep going. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Has his light risen upon you? It says, "For behold, darkness will cover the earth." Man, there's different times. I believe we're like in one of those times right now. Prophetically, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness, listen, deep darkness, the peoples. We're not talking about just darkness. We're talking deep darkness. We're talking about the type of darkness you can feel. That's deep darkness. Deep darkness, the peoples. It says, "But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." Well, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. But Lord, that's not enough for me. That's not enough for me. Will appear upon you. Verse 3 says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Raise your eyes all around and see." This is what we're going to see. "Raise your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, as your heart will thrill and rejoice." There's the promise right there. There's the promise, right? I declare that. I don't know about you, but I declare that over my family in Jesus' name. I declare that over your family in Jesus' name. I declare it over sons and daughters. I declare it over moms and dads. I declare it over nephews and nieces. I declare it over this town, Chino Valley, the gross darkness, over Prescott Valley, Prescott, Dewey, Humboldt. Lord, we just, though gross darkness has covered people, Lord, we thank you for your light shining, and we call back sons and daughters in Jesus' name because of the promise of God, I believe, is for today. We got a prophetic word about that. That was the Lord. I didn't talk to anybody. And Carol was talking about the returning of children. It goes exactly with what the Lord just gave me here. It says you will be radiant, your heart will rejoice when they come out of utter darkness back into his marvelous light. And so we speak that and declare that today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We honor you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know now that as we continue to pray and worship, Lord, it doesn't matter how it looks. Say, Lord, let that darkness touch them, then bring them back into your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many of you know the same thing. You've had darkness touch areas of your life till you finally said, "I'm done. I'm done." And just like that, we declare that. I don't care what where they live, how meager it looks. I don't care how dark it looks. They're coming out of that well. They're coming out of that darkness. They're coming into his marvelous light. Does it mean it becomes perfect? No, I mean, Jonah spends 3 days in a well. He goes through Jonah saying, "Repent or be fried." And then he goes up in the outskirts of the town and he sits there and waits. Meanwhile, they're down in the city repenting. And then when the fire or whatever doesn't fall, he says, "Yeah, that's just what I expected. I thought you were going to do that." He was still upset. Spent three days in that well, and he was still upset that God's goodness and mercy was extended to his enemies. He even went back and said, "That's why I got on that ship and went the other direction, because I knew how loving and kind you were, and I didn't want to see it extended to my enemies." Man, we serve a good, good God. We serve a good, good God. How he loves you. I don't know why sometimes maybe some of you had to go into the belly of the whale. Maybe you have family there right now. And I just, as I read that, I said, Lord, let that darkness touch them in a way they said, I'm done. Lord, we thank you for the people, the sons and daughters that are going to be done. If you believe that, would you raise your hands with me and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I declare that. We speak that. We love you and we praise you, Father God. Thank you, Father. We receive that this morning. Lord, as we continue to pray now, say, Lord, thank you. I pray with the promises of God that are yes and amen. Hallelujah. That Isaiah chapter 60, it says right there that your sons and daughters are going to be coming out of great darkness. And I declare and speak that it's for me, Lord Jesus. If you were willing to, Father God, to preserve those Ninevites, Lord, and I belong to you and love me, I know you're going to preserve my family. I speak that. I declare it, Father God. I don't care what the darkness looks like. It actually might be a sign that it's just about done. When it gets so dark that it's just about done. And so, Lord, we declare that, speak that. We thank you for that today. Would you stand up with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for that this morning. Lord, we receive that this morning, Father. We declare that, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you no matter how dark it looks in certain circumstances, Lord. Nothing's impossible for you, Father God. There can be a change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, a situation changing for that family member. So we thank you and we worship you. Thank you. And you, some of you might have some family members that have come back and they're might not quite perfect yet. Well, look at Jonah up on the hill complaining. But I knew you were going to do this. Went back, he reverted to complaining about what God had done. Man, just keep loving, persevering with them, blessing them. Reminding them what God brought them out. I want to say this. If there's an area in your life that is in darkness that you need prayer for, that I can agree with you, would you come up here after the service? We would love to have you pray with us to speak the love of Jesus over your life. If there's been an area of darkness that's brought some devastation, we would love to minister the love of God, the truth of God, over your life. Would you do that this morning? Okay. With that, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the word of God, the power of the word residing in your people today. We thank you for the truth, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I call that for family members. I don't know when, I don't know how long the belly of the whale is, but today for us, I declare it done in Jesus' name. I said, I declare it done in Jesus' name. I said, I declare it done. And I've got some people in my mind I'm thinking about that are in the belly of the whale, so to speak. I declare it done in Jesus' name. They shall live and they shall not die to declare the glory of the Lord. So we thank you for that, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And remember, enjoy the very best day of the week, Monday, tomorrow. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.